Those of you who are guests in the house, we don't always talk about buildings and money and all that. This is just the one Sunday that we choose to do this every year. And this year, the money that we raise today is going to go to buy new chairs. You heard Brandon say that, and a baptistry. And and it's really all about opportunity. And I'm going to say more about that as I preach through the message today. I read a book recently called The Principle of the Path. It's written by Andy Stanley. It's a great book, by the way, if you want to get that book. And it's weird that you get a book, you buy a book, and you listen through. I do audio books. Listen through all the book. And it's such a simple concept that I should know about. But it really is amazing how many times I thwart the truth of the principle of the path. And it basically says, and this is your first notes in your notes pages today, is direction determines destination. If we're going to go on a trip today, we're going to go to Florida. And we got a bus sitting out front, and we get on that bus, and they get to the interstate, and he takes I-65 north. You immediately are going to know there is a problem, because you know Florida is not north, and the direction that bus points is going to determine where we end up. And your life, my life, is the same way. And Discovery Church's destination is also the same way. And so I want to talk about some things today that actually guide us as a church, but also should guide you in your life. And that is, and I want you to understand this too, that the destination of going to Florida has an end result, right? I mean, you can only go so far, and you'll be in the ocean if you don't stop. But I mean, you can only go so far. Once you get to your destination, you can say, I have arrived. Can I just tell you that Discovery's destination is a constant, not an end? There is a constant in our spiritual walk that you can't say that, oh, I've arrived. I grew up in a church that said that. We've arrived. We figured it all out. We've got it all of our T's crossed and our I's dotted. We know what we're doing. Everybody else should come along and do it like us so that they can be right with God the same way we are. And we felt as though we had everything. And I remember reading scripture and going, oh, wait a minute. That doesn't say what is this scripture over here? And begin reading the Bible. And if you've been in any kind of church, Discovery Church being one of them, and you will find things sometimes and you'll look at it and go, is that really line up with the Word of God? And if it doesn't, you need to ask the same questions I begin to ask. You need to hear those questions and ask those questions. So I want you to, hey, Micah, would you do me a favor? Would you grab one of those tan chairs right next to you and take it over here to my brother Corey? Corey is here today. He had surgery, man, and has some back surgery going on. And I just know, brother, that chair is going to be a lot bigger of a blessing for you than the one you're sitting in, all right? I don't want to embarrass him, but anyway, I'm sorry. I saw that and my hospitality kicked in, brother. Don't that feel better? All right, come on, man. All right. And so thank you, Micah. And so I just want you to understand that we're not going to get to a point as a church and go, okay, here we are. And if we ever start doing that, if our movement becomes a monument, then Pastor Keith needs to be told we need to move again. Because just as soon as you can guess it and figure it all out, God changes things. Now, God's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God doesn't change. But you can read his Bible and know that he communicates differently to different generations. He does things in different ways. He's a creative God who will surprise the daylights out of you. And just when you think you're supposed to be in a position of, hey, we're comfortable, everything's good, he'll throw a little wrinkle in there or allow the enemy to, and all of a sudden, oh, no, what am I going to do with this? And then you have to come back to him again. That's the point. The point is that we keep coming back to him, and our destination will always be the same direction, but it will never stop. We will never stop striving. We'll never stop growing. Churches that stop growing, stop growing. that's deep, isn't it? when you stop moving and changing, you die. Stagnation is not a place I want to be. I don't want to be. I want to keep being in perpetual motion with our dream and our vision for what's going on. And that's not to say, and you people here saying, you just need to be still and be quiet. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a different thing. And your vision and your mission in life is going to constantly be moving. Have you ever said this about your kids? Man, if I could just get them to be this old, get out of them diapers and quit having to change them diapers, if they'll just ever start walking, and if they'll just ever start talking, and if they'll ever just stop talking, and if they ever just sit down and be still, and you got all these different things that we go through, and you think, well, now they're out of the house, so they're gone, and the truth is they're not. they come back and they bring more with them. And it's just, and it's like, what is happening? You never stop. My mom is 81 years old and I'm still her boy. And she still directs me. And I still don't listen. You know, at times, I think I listen better now than I used to, but I still am like, no, Mom, you don't know what you're talking about. So church is that way, and it's a perpetual thing. There's really two things that's going to keep us focused, and the first one is the next blank in your notes, and that is the idea of faith. Faith. Today's lesson is not going to be groundbreaking, and most of you have heard everything I'm going to say today, but I just want to reiterate it one more time of what it is that we need to be centrally focused on, okay? And so faith, we will go where God is pointing. That's always the right direction, but it's not always the easiest direction. Faith itself is defined this way. Faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. We can understand those words, but that's not easy. When someone is asking you to take a step into to a new world, into a new place, it's when you tell your children don't, and they don't get it, they have to have faith that you're telling them the truth about what they should not be doing. And same with do or whatever. And God is trying to get us to see that if you'll trust me, I will lead you in the way you need to go. And by the way, faith is not some ethereal, floaty kind of concept. It is a real, real way of life. And it kills me. You know that you're supposed to, you expect me to say certain things from this stage. If you come to me for help, you're going to expect me to say certain things. But I'm telling you, faith is one of those things that we just have to look toward God and expect that what he is saying to me is the truth. Someone said, faith is acting like God is actually telling me the truth. That's true, right? It's acting the way, y'all, that's a whole lot better in my mind than it came off in the words. But behavior has to back up our faith. It has legs with it. It has motion with it. It has hands and feet and mouths, and all of that is moving in our life. And the problem with Christianity today is not that it's not real. It's just that those of us who are representing it often don't really believe the stuff that our God is telling us. Oh, really, God? And we not say it that way. We just work and act and talk and walk our lives. We move in our lives like we don't really believe what he's actually said. James reminds us in James 2. But James in James 2 is talking a whole lot about how that faith has to have motion to it. If you see a brother in need and you ignore that brother in need, do you have faith? He says it this way, in the same way, in other words, in the same way, looking after the things that we do, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. The purpose of a moving faith is not to see what I'm doing or what you're doing, but to see what God is doing. And you think, well, I don't even understand how that works. Let me challenge you to do something. You do what God asks you to do, and you watch him work. If you would do this with me, I told you about the dangerous prayer I prayed a few weeks ago. God, I want all that you have to offer me. Whatever that looks like, that's a dangerous prayer. It's a scary prayer. Every day in my prayer notes, as I'm going through and I'm scrolling through my notes, it says when it gets to me, it says, God, here I am, do what you will. That is a scary prayer. And I'm telling you, it gets you to a point where you're just like, okay, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back about that. I'm just saying if you open your life up to that, God will show you some amazing, amazing, wonderful, and scary, and awesome, and frightful, and things. I mean, just things that are all out there. I've had three people today tell me that they dreamed dreams that this building was busting at the seams with people and the parking lot wouldn't hold everybody. Cool dreams, right? Well, God's moving in that. And as somebody, I won't call names, so I don't want to embarrass anybody. Somebody walked up and told me that. I was just saying, as I was standing out here in the lobby, and I was just watching people walk through the doors. I'm like, here, it's happening. Look around, y'all. Look around the room. There are very few empty chairs. That's the purpose for Legacy Sunday this time. It's to create a moment and a place where people can come in and find this God that we're talking about. And by the way, they don't have to come in here to do it. This is just one place that they can. Faith is remembering who you are. Faith is remembering that we walk in or from victory, not to obtain victory. Did y'all hear that? I don't know if you did. I think Emily heard it. But we walk we walk from victory. I'm already in victory. I'm walking not to get it. That was my old Christianity. My old Christianity said I had to do it right and worship it right and say it right and be right and never be wrong. And as soon as I made a mistake, there he is. Boom, there I got him. That, hey, boy, he's just looking to stomp me in the ground. And that's not my God. We are moving in a place, y'all, I'm already in heaven. My name is written on the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm not waiting to hope one day I get to the gates and Peter's standing there going, let's see. It's there. It's there. And we got to start living from that victory. And you're looking at a guy that don't always do that. I live in my brain and my emotions and my feelings and my doubts in myself. Thank God that he doesn't think like I do. He thinks way more of myself than even I can. Scripture says, by divine power, I want y'all to hear this. God has given us everything. Everybody say everything. He's given us everything we need to live in America. That's not what it says. He doesn't say he's given us everything we need to be a good whatever. He says, I've given you everything that you need to live a godly life. And that's everything. Everything has to filter through that. And when it doesn't, my life gets all up in a shamble. It's all messed up when I'm not doing that. We have received, the Bible says, all of this. Check it out. Not by doing anything yourself, but it's really coming to know him. We've done this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Those are big words to say. You didn't do anything to deserve it. God gave it to you. And he said, I've given you everything to live this godly life. Now, you just have to access it. You just got to walk in it. You just got to trust me that when you take a step and you don't know why you're taking a step, I'll give you your why. I will give you a point. It's coming. It may be years down the road. I can't tell you how many prayers that I'm still praying that I want to happen. And some have, and some have happened, and some will happen. Some may not ever happen in this lifetime. But God's given me everything I need to walk through whatever it is I have to go through. The psalmist said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even there, your hand guides me. God inclines his ear every time I say, Lord. And y'all, if I don't think about it that way when I pray, if I don't let my mind go to the place where God's leaning in, sometime I can look and say, God, are you really listening? That's a legit question, by the way. Psalmist asks it over and over again, but you got to be seeking after him. You see, because of that, we get to proclaim something. And that is who we are in him. We get to proclaim that to the rest of the world. And that's really number two, and that's our vision. Faith has to happen. Guys, you have to start in faith. If you're not in a place right now where your faith is solid in Jesus Christ, at the end of this service today, we're going to have prayer warriors all around this room, and we want you to walk up to one of them and just say, hey, my life is not where it needs to be. Would you pray with me? Now, you don't have to go to them to do that. You can do that right from your seat. They're not specially, like, they don't have all these special powers. They're just people who love to pray with people, and they'll give you that opportunity in that moment to do that. In fact, if you want to pray right now, you just raise your hand and we'll find you a spot to pray. I don't want you to have to. God may come back before I finish this sermon. I want you to know there's some urgency to you having faith. You need to be walking in it yesterday, not tomorrow. You need to be walking in it right this moment. Emily said it. Eternal life doesn't start down yonder somewhere. I'm in it already. I'm in it already. It's messed up in this world. It's all jacked up because of sin, but I'm already in eternal life. I'm not waiting to get it. Come on, y'all. That's good news. That's good news. The next thing we need is walk in vision. We have to walk in vision. If you don't walk in vision, you're just blind. Vision gives us direction in which faith can flow. Faith can flow. Now, I want to tell you something. You guys know, if you didn't hear my message earlier in the You Asked For It series about God's will for your life, go back and listen to that. I'm not going to reiterate all of that. God has a general will for all of us, that we follow him and that we reproduce other people that need to find Jesus. That's the general will for all of us. But I want you to know that if you blinded your eyes and all you can see is the stuff of this world, and if I do this, I may not. Giving is an example of that. I don't want to pray on your emotions or play on your emotions or anything, but giving is that way. At first, it doesn't feel good to put money in those boxes back there. It's like, oh, I don't know. I sure could have used that. But it's a trust factor of saying that God, and I'm not one of these sow the seed preachers where if you sow the seed, he'll give you $1 million. That ain't happening. That's not the will of God. That is not what the Bible teaches about giving. But I will say this. In Malachi, he says, test me in it. You can find me. If you give, and I will pour out a blessing on you that you can't even measure. And that's God. That's not me. You can read that in the book of Malachi. But you know what? I go back to that whole book. He's really trying to get those people in Malachi to get their heart right. Because if your heart's right, the money's not going to be a problem. If your heart's right, telling people about Jesus is not a problem. If your heart's right, then you're going to talk to your kids about Jesus. If your heart's right, you're going to be the spouse you need to be. If your heart's right, you're going to be the pastor you need to be. If your heart's right, you're going to need to be the AV guys and the worship team and everybody that serves in this thing. If your heart's not right, then please move on somewhere else. Because we want to be able to focus our heart right. And then when people accuse us of things that are not true, we can say, yeah, but you don't know my heart. You don't know my heart. Oh, and it happens. You put yourself out there for Jesus and you will be accused. In fact, one of the terms for Satan is he's the accuser of the brethren. Come on, y'all. I'm not trying to scare you away. I'm trying to get you to understand that this is real. This is real. It's not, I say it all the time. It's not a game. It's not. We don't come to church. We don't go to church. We are the church. We're visioned in our minds to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And y'all, we're the only plan he's got in the world to get his message out. There is no plan B. We got to do that. That's vision, man, vision. Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 1, it's kind of where we outline our vision. And I'm going to tell you something. I'll just be frank. I didn't come up with this. This was given to me years ago. I began to listen to Pastor Chris Hodges, and he was pouring this passage out. And he kept pouring this passage and this concept, and y'all just fell in love with his vision. And tried to present it to the church I was in at the time, and it just did not go over well at all. Because the vision has to be lined up with what God wants you to be doing. And there's a lot of churches in this area have all kinds of vision and mission statements that do things, and we're not about to announce that we got it better than anybody else. We just another way to do it. And when I saw this and I read this, and by the way, this is not the only place you see this concept in Scripture, but this is what we've adopted as our vision, and I want to give it to you again. You people who have heard this before, you're going to go, man, we've heard this before. Come to Impact today, you'll hear it again. And you'll hear it again in a few weeks down the road. You know why? Because vision leaks. And if we don't keep reminding ourselves of who we are, we will forget who we are, and the movement will become a monument, and the monument will be worshipped over the God that we worship. And as long as I'm alive, I don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen. It's not about me, not about you. It's about this. Paul said, I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, that he may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Those are words, man, that, you know, in the Greek, those two words mean wisdom and revelation. And it's literally, that's supposed to be funny. Y'all, come on. Y'all got to chill out or something. Y'all been messed up ever since you saw me in that suit on the screen. That's what's happened. I know what it is. It's this block. It's blocked. God wants to uncover something for you. That's what revelation is. It's an uncovering. And he wants to show you his heart for you. And I think Paul outlines it in this particular text. He says the next phrase, so that you may know him better. We call that a relationship with God. If you're going to know God, this is not about just, oh, I know about God. I grew up knowing a lot about God and about his church and about the Bible. I didn't know him. I want you to know him. It's a relationship. We do that primarily through what you're listening to right now. This time to come together, we try to build a situation where somebody can walk in this building who don't know who Jesus is, and at the end of a service or at the end of a time together, whatever gathering we're having here, we want you to be able to at some point to be able to say, I believe Jesus is Lord. I want a relationship with that God that you're serving. I want what you have. I don't want you, but I want what you have. And that's what God has given us. He said, I want you to know him better. It's an intimate, close relationship. The second part of that, he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Now, we all know we have these eyes and this kind of looking around, and the Bible calls this the window to the heart. But Paul is saying, I want you to see what's in your heart eyes. And I'm going to tell you what's in some of your heart eyes. Right now, some of your heart eyes have in it, you've got some bad junk in there. Your heart, down inside of your heart, you've got some stuff that someone told you back in the past. You'll always be such and such, or you won't ever amount to blank, or you're not worth anything. And maybe if they didn't say it to you in some way, you've believed it and internalized that, and you're living your life that way. And what God is wanting to do is to enlighten. He's wanting to shine a light in a dark place, y'all. And we're afraid of the light. We're afraid of somebody. Oh, I don't want somebody to see my stuff. I don't want that. And the devil, as long as you're like that and you're covering it up and you're putting it, and I'm telling you, as long as you're covering it up and you're not confessing to somebody and walking to somebody and talking with, that's why we have small groups. This is the way we make this happen here, is we want you sitting in a room with some other people who are struggling like you are, so that you can get the heart eyes cleaned out. And you get some freedom set behind it. We're my freedom people. Come on, y'all. We need some freedom in our life. And I want to tell you something. That's another thing that leaks with me. I get free from things, and then it comes back and jumps on me again, and I have to get free from that again. It's this constant, constant motion, at least in my life. Maybe it's free. Maybe you got freedom, and you're done with it. You don't ever have to revisit anything. But I'm going to tell you something. It's a constant battle. It is a walk. It is a run. It is a roll, Jonathan. It is a whatever it is. It's going from one place to another and understanding that I got some junk in here that I need to get out. And I want you to get it out of your life and be free so that you can do the next thing. He says, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. You can't see the hope that you have as long as that junk's inside. So find a relationship with God. Get some freedom from your past so that you can find out who you are. Find out the purpose that you're on the planet. I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that God didn't just, you know, like, oh, well, there's so-and-so. I got to go figure out what to do with him. God didn't have to figure out anything. Nothing ever occurred to God. God didn't go, never thought about that. He's never said that. Because he knows the end from the beginning. And listen, he knows your life. Somebody talked earlier about the distractions. He knows the distractions that are in your mind right now that's blocking you out from even hearing this message. He knows those. He wants them out of there. We call that impact. We'd love to help you be able to find out what your purpose is. We start today. Step one, there's a sign-up sheet, by the way, back there. Just to let us know who's coming, please sign that sheet back there as you leave today. It's on a wall right behind that TV. And just sign the sheet and say, I want to come and start this journey. It literally is, y'all. It's not about jumping through a hoop. It's not about jumping over something. It's not about Pastor Keith needs you to do this, this, and this. It's not. Just erase anything that it's about and just come on the journey. Kick the tires all you want to. You won't be poked, pushed, prodded. You're not going to be shoved into anything. I promise you that. But when you find out your purpose, and you find out there's a place that you can carry out that purpose, and if there's not one here, we'll find a place where you can carry it out. Or we'll create a place here for you to carry it out. Because we want you thriving in what your passion is. We hope to be able to help you find that. That's in step two, by the way, of impact. And then the last thing that he says here in this passage, he says that he called you to the riches of the glorious inheritance in his holy people. I love the Message paraphrase. It helps me understand what he's saying here. The Message paraphrase of this says that you may grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for his followers. Here's the point I think Paul is trying to make, that anything God wants you to have that is good for you is always connected to people. And I know that disappoints us because I think, man, if he just give me this, I'd be happy as I could be, and I wouldn't have to worry about such and such, and I could just live my life, and it could be all about me, and it's not about that at all. I think the thing that scares people most about Christianity is it's not all about them. That what God gives you is not about what he gives you. It's about what can you do with what he gives you. And in his economy, we always give that away. We call it the dream team. I didn't coin that phrase either. And I tried to come up with another word for it. When we first started our church, we had someone here in our church at the time that was so vehemently against any other church. They wanted us to be everything original. And I was thinking, man, why do we want to invent the wheel when someone has this vision here and want to follow this vision and want to see this? And so that's why it's called Impact instead of some other things. I tried my best. I was such a poor leader at the time that I tried to scratch every itch of every person that walked through the building. Man, it's so free to look people in the eye and go, this is not who we are. I'm sorry. I love you, and I want to help you. And what we're doing is making a difference in people's lives, but it might not be for you. Now, that's scary. That's a scary thing for a pastor to say, because what does a pastor want? He wants his church building full. Well, if it were my church building, that's what I'd want. But it's not mine. It's not yours either. Not about me, what I want. Or you what you want. It's about what does God want for us in this space, in this time, and right where we are. We call it the dream team. It was so funny because we didn't start out calling it the dream team. And one day I said something about the dream team, and somebody said, "What is that?" I said, "Well, you're on it." And we had to begin to define kind of what that looked like. And let me tell y'all something. What's really cool about our church is we're still so new that we're still figuring it out. And if you come back here in 20 years, we'll still be figuring it out. Because things change. But it's so cool to watch this happen. I can't tell you what it's like to stand here and look out across this group and know we're online and to worship like we did earlier and to have that freedom. And have that, if you want to call it experience, you call it what you want to. One guy called it entertainment. You guys entertain over there? Or you have church? And I said, yes. Because to me, there's nothing like worshiping my God. Liz and I got the honor to go see Stephen Curtis Chapman Friday night last week. Y'all, I've never been in front of a place. This is in Belmont University in their Fisher Center. One of the most ornate, beautiful places I've ever been in. And there was an orchestra there. I've never been in a setting where somebody that, you know, had that particular kind of concert and with an orchestra in a building that was made for music. It was, I mean, four bars into the first part the orchestra played, I'm in tears. Of course, y'all know I cry a lot anyway. But still, I'm just like, and words haven't even been sung yet. And it was so captivating and amazing and awesome. And Stephen Curtis Chapman came out on stage after a bunch of stuff happened. He comes out and he starts singing. And to hear the purpose in that man's heart about what he's doing and what he has been doing all these years. Somebody asked me, how old is he now? He's 61 years old. He's a young man. Young man. Got some amens on that one. But my thing is that watching him do what he does. Watching him do what he does and knowing his purpose behind it just changed everything about it. And it's just so cool. And when people see that, they don't fall in love with him. They fall in love with the God that he sings about. That's the point. And that's the purpose. I don't know where I may have missed a point in there somewhere. I hope I didn't. But I want you to make an impact on the world. You know why? Because when you start making an impact for Jesus, you're not leaving that spot. You're not walking away from that. You're going to thrive in it, and you're going to go, oh, my goodness, I didn't know that church could be like this. I didn't know that being in front of, I didn't know it could be this way. I had no idea that, I didn't. And I know what I was talking about. Just standing here in this room and watching all this happen and watching you guys grow, it's just the thrill. It's an amazing, wonderful, wonderful thing. I need my worship team to come on up, and we're gonna bring this thing to a landing. I want you to grasp the immensity of that wonderful, glorious way of life that God has for you. And it starts with faith. And then you have to have vision in your life to move forward. And some of us work. Isn't it amazing how much we work on things that really don't matter? Ultimately, I mean, in the ultimate scheme of things, I'm not taking anything that I own with me to the next world. It's going to all be provided for me there. And I don't want to get too much into heaven because my theology is so messed up and different than it used to be. I had to work on that before I present that message. That's coming too, by the way. Can't wait to preach to you about heaven. It's going to be so good. See, faith and vision both frame our legacy. Y'all know what a frame is? You see this building, we walked in this building, it was already here, and you know, the things we didn't like, we took out, and they just added some paint and some lighting and some things like that. It really was cosmetic more than anything, the stuff that we did, but it created an atmosphere that we wanted to be able to have worship like we do and classes like we do. And praise God for our kids' ministry and all of that. Yeah, but yeah, go ahead. That's all right. Let's give God a hand of praise for that. We love our kids and all the things that get to happen, but it all starts with a framework. This building has a foundation. These walls have 2x4s. They're metal as they are. There's reasons why this building stays upright like it does. And there's reason why you stay upright like you do. That in the midst of when you're like me, see, when I get in my emotions and I get in my thought processes and I start going 4 steps down a road to what I think should be happening in this moment and this time, and y'all know what I'm talking about, when the little squirrels in there going, He's running, and I'm saying, slow down. And my mind's working. Y'all, it causes my stomach to hurt. It can cause my back to hurt. I mean, literally, it could cause me physiological problems. And when I see that, I have to go back to my framework. I will die. Some of you are trying to live outside of God's framework. And your faith is not in Him. Your faith is in your job. Or your faith is in your spouse. Or your faith is in your children. Or your parents. Your faith is stuck somewhere that there really is no substantial framework. And so when your faith is stuck in the wrong place, then your vision goes all over the place. It's like, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't tell you how many people ask me through my lifetime in ministry, I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what God's will is for my life. It's one of the questions you ask of yourself. What do you want from me? You look at somebody else and go, what do you want out of this? God is saying, build a framework and a legacy around me. You see, trusting in God is what He said leads to the reason why we exist. We don't need chairs for our glory. We don't need more chairs for... We need more chairs so we can get more people in here. Thank God for the Christian church that donated what you're sitting in now. If you're sitting in folding chairs, those were donated by Church of the Highlands. We kept them in Jonathan's garage for how long, brother? 3 years, I guess. I don't know. A long time. Because we didn't have a place to put them. Then we moved here and we got all that stuff out of the garage out there. Knocked off all the dirt dauber nests. Threw a lot of it away. Still have a lot to give away. And I see all those things And I'm so thankful for my buddy Glenn Mead who gave us these chairs. And we want to pass them along to somebody. But what we're going to raise money to do today is to fill this room up with chairs that are much more comfortable, that match the room, that create an aesthetic. What's an aesthetic? It makes it look better. Does that matter in America? Absolutely it does. Does it matter when people walk in the door back there and they don't see any empty chairs? What do? Statistically, they turn around and walk out. So we're going to create a place where there's a lot more in here. And then when we fill those up, when God fills them up, we're going to go 2 services. And when God fills those 2 up, we'll add a 3rd, possibly a 4th. And during that time, we're going to be searching for somewhere where we can be permanently located so we can outgrow that. And we'll stop when we stop breathing. That's it. Why we need a baptistry? We can go to Church of Christ that year. Thank God for Central Church of Christ. Bless their hearts. Every time we needed to baptize somebody. Hey, brother. His name is just left me. Come on, y'all. Somebody help me. Huh? What did you say? Tucker. Barry Tucker. Thank you. Barry. Barry Tucker shows up down there. Y'all know Barry used to be a car salesman here, and he's retired now. He just loves inviting us in. You know why? Because he's got a mission bigger than his church. He loves to open his door to us so we can come do that. And we want to be able to have baptism Sundays where we can do it right back here. We can do it wherever we put the thing. It'll be portable. And we'll be able to have immediately somebody baptized. I'll baptize you now. And I can give you theology behind all that. But the point is, it's not for us. It's for the people who are going to come through here. Now, can I just end this service with a personal question? You guys stand with me if you would. Prayer team, come forward if you would. You guys that are out and about. And they're standing all around the room. This is an opportunity. And the opportunity is for you to walk up to somebody and just say something like this. You know, I don't really know who I am. I need to know who I am. Would you pray that God show me what I need to do to be who God wants me to be? Because the question, real question about legacy is this, is in whose name are you forming your legacy? I don't know. You do. You do. That's your faith. And I want you to form your legacy in the name of Christ so that your children and their children and their children can know who Jesus is. You create generational blessing by doing that. Generational life, really. What will your children remember about you? That's how you set your vision for your family. What framework are you building your vision on right now in your life so that not just your children, but let's just say you don't have children, you got family, you got people around you, you got people at work. There's places to leave a mark for Jesus all over and to build your life on something more substantial than yourself. And I'll just tell you, anytime I've tried to do something other than that, it's fallen apart. Now, the cool thing about God is, a lot of cool things about God, but one of the cool things about God is that if you've messed it up, he's a redeemer and a restorer. He can take what you've done. And the Bible says he can take everything about your life, the good, the bad, the ugly, and he can create something beautiful from it. But you're going to have to let him do that. He's not going to supersede your will. He's not going to shove you down. So I want to ask you this moment, now we sing this song, how are we going to end today? We sing this song. We play this music. I want to give you that opportunity. I want you to take that opportunity, please, to build your life on something more substantial.
Oh, I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. I will build my life upon
your love. The only way to not be shaken is to build the foundation on you. Don't miss an opportunity. Don't miss an opportunity.
And I will not be ashamed. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation.
I will put my trust in you, Father.
Oh, my.
praise right there. Oh, Father, we love you. We love you. We love you. We honor you. We praise you. We glorify your holy name. Father, I want to just pray over this room right now. Father, I pray for people who right now in this moment are trusting you right where they sit. I pray, God, that they will see that worthy is you, Father. You are the one who is worthy. And right now, I pray over them, God, as they come to accept and to know that you are Jesus, that you are Lord in their life, Father. I just pray, God, that you'll give them strength to make that step, to take that step, to move forward, to change their life, to follow you, to be water baptized, Father, to be start that journey of following who you are, God. Thank you, God, for being who you are in our life. And I pray, God, that you will bless the giving today, God. Bless those who will give. I pray, God, that you will bless this contribution, Father. Help us to do what we're called to do with it. And I pray, God, that you'll help us to be faithful in that. And I pray that it exceeds any goal that we could possibly set because of who you are. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Man, I appreciate you guys so much. What a great, great day it's been. Great day of worship. I want you to leave building your life on him. If you brought your legacy, if you want to give online, you can do that. Just, it doesn't matter where you give, so because all the money given today is going to do this particular thing. And so there's a legacy thing. If you want to give online, you can give to the legacy tab. If you want to just give to the general fund, like if some of you text like I do, just text that, it's fine. If you want to give check or cash or whatever, you can do that at the back door with those little black boxes. And let me say something to all of our guests. We love you. Thank you for coming here today. And we honor you. We honor you. We do not. We're not here to get your money, okay? This is not what this is about, okay? So please come back and be with us anytime that you have opportunity. And we do want our partners to give, but we're not expecting you guys to do anything that you don't feel on your heart you want to do. And if you want to give, that's, we'll take your money. But anyway, I'm just saying, it's not about that, okay? We appreciate you.